Let's go ahead and grab our Bibles then. We're going to go to Ecclesiastes one more time here and plan to wrap this study up. There's plenty of places we could, plenty of topics. You know, we've been talking about the right perspective and having our perspective built upon the Word of God, having God set our perspective. And so often, you know, I'm not going to stand up here this morning and tell you that I have all of my thoughts where I want them or all my questions answered. There are, as Brother Tommy said, so many times we do have so many questions in this life, but there's one thing that holds true, amen, and that is where God said, I am the same. I never change. Same yesterday, today, and forever, I change not. That we serve an unchanging God. There is a hard, fast truth that is forever settled, that will not move. It is not a moving target. In a world where so many things seem so movable, you know, and so many people trying to say, well, there's no absolute truth. We know this morning that God is truth, yes. Amen. That the Word of God that He has given us here is truth. And so, as we maybe moving out of this topic, the right perspective, and maybe coming out of Ecclesiastes for a little while, anyway, we always have the Word of God to set our thoughts, amen. To help establish us in what is right. Because we believe that the Word of God is right and that His ways are right. And we want to be, as we studied not long ago, we want our house or our lives to be built upon the rock, upon the solid foundation, and that cannot be moved. Because Jesus is that foundation, amen? That there are that people that build their lives, as we studied not long ago, on the sand, what just simply means with no foundation. And when you build upon no foundation, then it's just a matter of time before the house collapses and fails. But we know that if we build upon the solid foundation, upon the rock, that it will stand sure. Now, the way we're going to wrap this up, we're going to the last chapter of Ecclesiastes as our main, I guess, our main verses this morning. Just we probably won't go through the whole chapter, but we will look at a few particular passages there in that last chapter, because we've titled this the conclusion of the matter. And if you're familiar with Ecclesiastes, you already know where we're going to end up with, because I'm sort of like, I know what we've said it before here, but I like things simple. I like it laid out straight. I'm not a complicated person, and so I like when things are simplified. Amen. Things are laid out for me so that we can understand it. And if things get too complicated for me, I have a hard time remembering it. So, you know, we like to keep it simple. I had a English professor in college. She used to always, you know, ever heard that statement, kiss. Well, she switched it around a little bit. She said, keep it simple, sweetheart. And that's a little easier for us to take. I think the other one is not quite as appealing. So, I'm not meaning to call you sweetheart this morning, but I will try to tell you, we want to keep it simple. And as Solomon ends it here, as we've been looking at his life, and maybe you haven't been here for all of the studies that we've had here, but it does seem like that Solomon has had the ability some way, you know, when we look at throughout this book, and it has, some of it has been very difficult to deal with, because he does deal with reality. He deals with issues that we look around us and see. And sometimes, you know, it's easier for us just to ignore it and maybe isolate ourselves from it and say that, you know, well, it doesn't work that way, or I don't have to worry about that. But as we studied last week, that there is wisdom to be gained through pain. And that's hard for us to grasp, isn't it? I was talking to some folks this week, and I guess just because of the passages that were fresh in my mind from last week's study, and I told them, you know, what we studied last Sunday was that it is better to go to the house of mourning than the house of laughter. And they looked at me like, what? Doesn't make any sense. And yeah, at face value, it doesn't make a lot of sense. Why would we want mourning over laughter? But the issue wasn't what we want. we weren't dealing with an issue of what's more comfortable for us. We were dealing with what we gain wisdom from, or what makes us strong. And so Solomon, in his great wisdom, this is a man that, you know, even though we've kind of went, maybe jumped around a little bit, if you look at the first chapter and go all the way through the book, somehow he seems to have been able, I was trying to figure out when Solomon wrote this in his life, because that's important to me. It's important for me to know why he wrote it. It's a whole lot easier for someone to say certain things that, you know, no offense to you young people, and we want our young people to serve the Lord with all their heart. But I tell you what, when folks have been through something, when folks have gone through a storm, and if you live life long enough, you will. I was sharing with Bill after last Sunday. I didn't mention it last Sunday, but I got to thinking about it. There's one of my favorite preachers. Well, I don't know if he's on the radio. I listen to him on the internet, but his name is R.C. Sproul. And I really like to listen to R.C. Sproul. He's one of my favorites. I like the way he breaks down the scripture, and, you know, he's got that old wild professor gravelly voice sound, and, you know, he sounds kind of nuts sometimes, but I like the way he lays it out for us. And sometimes his son will come on. I think it's R.C. Sproul Jr., I think, is what one of them's Jr., and I think it's actually him. And I don't care to hear the guy a whole lot. He just doesn't have the method. I don't know, I just don't care to listen to him as much as I do his dad. Now, I don't have anything against him, and I think he does a fine job, but I just don't like him like I like his dad. So when he comes on, sometimes I'm like, oh, I got to listen to Junior today. I'd rather listen to Senior. And it's okay. I listen to him anyway, and he does say some good things. But the other day I was listening to him, and he kept talking about his wife and his daughter. And he kept talking in a sense of what he had learned through that situation. And I was listening, I was like, what's he getting at here? And he never did really say. And so I went back on the internet, and you know how it is now with the internet, you can find out anything on anybody. You can just Google it and pour too long, there's some news article or something. And it turns out that this man, he's probably, I don't know, maybe his early 50s by now, within a year's time, lost his wife to cancer and lost his daughter to some crippling disease that she had had from her birth. Now, when I heard that, all of a sudden when that man would continue to preach on faith and continue to preach on the faithfulness of God and how that he had learned that God was faithful and that he was a refuge, all of a sudden that began to take on a new meaning for me. And now I'm anxious to hear him again, because I realize that that guy, it's not so hard to preach faith when everything's going well. It's not so hard to preach trust when everything's going your way, but when it gets hard is when you suffer loss. When it gets hard is when you go through battles and hardships in your life that we all will face at some point. And it just so happens this morning, if I can kind of piggyback off of Sister Peggy's testimony there about her mother and also, I guess, her uncle as well. And it sometimes, you know, when reality hits and we have to deal with someone very close to us becoming older, you know, begin to get toward the end of their life, you know, up in, you know, she's saying in their 90s, wow, that's something, isn't it, to have a life that long. And, you know, but you still, it means you have to step back and you have to deal with that, because you see, you know, someone close to you just kind of slipping away. And sometimes, you know, in reality, we'd like for it to happen instantly, you know, go to sleep and not wake up, and that'd be the way we all like to go. But so often it just doesn't happen that way, and we do kind of slip away piece by piece. And as I said last Sunday, I know this didn't maybe put a smile on your face when you think about it, but it is reality. There's things we've got to deal with, and it's things that come against us, and things we've got to face. And I think of the words of Job, and I was thinking about it this week, and it's an amazing testimony of what he said. He said these words. He said, shall we accept good from God and not evil? Now, you may be first thinking, you're trying to tell me that evil comes from God. And I've been trying to make a decision where we're going to go from here in our study, as we, you know, because if we're moving on to something else, and a lot of times these studies that we do, it seems like they just kind of move into something else, and I just move, kind of go along with it. And so I've been thinking a lot lately about the sovereignty of God. and maybe moving into that a little bit. And if that don't thrill you, we'll just maybe wait and see how it goes. But when we think about God being in control, God is in control of every situation. And so Job was able to step back from his situation and his great loss. And if you're not familiar with it, read the book of Job and see all that he went through and all that he lost. And he said, you know, I've received good from God for so long. He's been so good to me. And now things aren't going real well. Things might not be going the way. Well, they were going terribly, to be honest with you. But he said, shall I accept good from God and not evil? In the end, everything that we face in our life has got to go through him. And he's got to okay it. He's got to approve it before it can ever face us. Because as we've been singing that song about majesty, he is the king. And he is in control of every situation that we face. And he's able to bring us through. And he is a faithful God. And so we want to finish up this book this morning in Ecclesiastes. And we'll start with chapter 12 there. And let's just start with the first verse there. It says, remember now thy creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. While the sun or the light or the moon or the stars be not darkened, nor the clouds return after the rain, in the day when the keepers of the house shall tremble and the strong men shall bow themselves and the grinders cease because they are few and those that look out the windows be darkened. And the doors shall be shut in the streets when the sound of the grinding is low, and he shall rise up at the voice of the bird, and all the daughters of music shall be brought low. Also when they shall be afraid of that which is high, and fear shall be in the way, and the almond tree shall flourish, and the grasshopper shall be a burden, and desire shall fail, because man goeth to his long home, and the mourners go about the street. We can stop there right now. It's a picture of maybe a town, or particularly maybe a house. It's not a pretty picture. It's a picture that speaks of decay, something that once had maybe great industry in it. You know, you kind of can picture it in your mind when you think of an old deserted town somewhere out in the West. I always think of dust. Maybe I got it from the old Western movies, you know, the old dusty streets. And was that the tumbleweed blowing through the streets and nobody walking around, and maybe a town or a city that was once so industrious and so much going on in it and all of this that now it's just deserted. There's no singing going on, no one walking up and down, no industry, no merchandise being sold, no grinding in the mill. Well, Solomon seems to be using this as an example to our days, to maybe even our bodies. And he tells us this. He says, remember now thy creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. Now, we've been talking about wisdom. We've been talking about gaining wisdom. And wanting the right perspective. And Solomon is using this. He says, this is the wisest man ever lived. Remember that? Have I mentioned that to you? That apart from Jesus, you know, this wisdom that Solomon possessed, and you remember the experiment that he undertook, where he had the means to do and to buy and to go anywhere he wanted to go and do anything he wanted to do. We looked at it back in chapter 2 of Ecclesiastes, and he talked about how I said in my heart, go to now, and I will prove thee with mirth. Therefore enjoy pleasure, and behold, this also is vanity. Verse 3, I sought in my heart to give myself unto wine, yet acquainting my heart with wisdom, and to lay hold on folly, till I might see what was that good for the souls of men, which they shall do under the heaven all the days of their life. This man had the ability to do anything he wanted to do. He could live the life of ease, and buy the new cars, and drive the Ferrari, and live in the upscale penthouse in New York City. He had the means to do all that. And so he said, I just gave myself to that. And so now, in that writing, maybe it was hard for us to understand then, but it seems to me like maybe he was looking back to a time when he did all this, and even though we followed the progression of it, it was a man that had no doubt probably gotten to the end of his days. I said I tried to figure out how old Solomon was. Still not real sure, but when I looked at when Ecclesiastes was supposedly written, and I went back and looked at when Solomon's days were ending there, and I even tried to put some type of getting things straight in Solomon's life. When you read his life in the Old Testament scriptures, I'll just be frank with you, it's not that impressive toward the end of his days. We won't get into all that, but you can read it on your own and see it just wasn't that impressive. But now when he gets down here, he says, of all this, let me remind you of something. Remember your Creator while you're young. He says, of all I've been through, all I've faced, all the pleasures I've went through, here's the conclusion. He's wrapping up his letter here. This preacher is ending his sermon. He says, here's what I want you to do. Remember now thy Creator. Remember your Creator. It's more than just don't forget. Yeah, wait till your last day. Oh, let me remember my Creator. Let me think about it. Let me just remember him, writing himself a note. Now, the word that's used here, it means to mark, means to think on, to act accordingly. So it's more than just remembering in a sense of, oh yeah, that's right, I forgot about that. It's remembering to the point where you take action. So he says, remember your Creator in the days of thy youth. The word that's used there is with respect where it talked about God remembering Noah. And so he sent a wind and dried up the earth. Same word used when it says that God remembered Abraham. And he brought Lot out of the cities before the destruction, before the judgment came. Talks about God remembering Rachel and other women in scriptures and opening their womb so that they could bring forth fruit and have children. So it's a decisive act on behalf of someone. And he says here, remember your Creator in the days of your youth. Now, I did this, and I was looking at several different references there. And as they were talking about these verses, and we don't have to go through them all, you can kind of read them. As a matter of fact, if we maybe I can nudge you in that direction, you can look at them at yourself, on your own, and figure out exactly what he's saying when he goes through these next few verses, as he says, remember your Creator, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. Then he talks about this sun, or the light, or the moon, or the stars, be not darkened. Remember before this happened. Remember before, nor the clouds return after the rain. It kind of has the idea of, you know, when storms pass, what we expect to happen when a storm's passed is that we expect the sun to come out. You know, we can endure the storms as long as we know after the storm that there's going to be some sunshine. Well, Solomon here talks about a time when the rain is gone and those clouds fall in the rain. Well, just basically just talks about, you know, one storm after the other. One thing happens after the other. And so from there, he starts talking about the in the days when the keeper of the house shall tremble. And many of the references I read made a point to identify maybe our bodies. As our body or our mind begins to dim a little bit and our legs get a little weak. And, you know, he starts talking about things like the keepers of the house shall tremble and the strong men shall bow themselves and the grinder cease. Because they are few, maybe as we get older, we start having problems in our bodies and legs and so on, and darkened. Our eyes maybe not quite as strong. And, you know, we can all kind of relate to this at some point when our bodies start to get old and wear out a little bit. And, you know, I was reading this morning, reading those references, beginning to think about my own life. I thought, my word, I'm not that old, and I'm already seeing some of these things. Matter of fact, I say I'm not that old, but I went back and looked at that, you know, that scripture where Caleb talks about, you know, give me this mountain. You know, the story of Joshua and Caleb. It was the two that wanted to take the promised land when they were the spies that sent in. It talks about Caleb, and I think, if I'm not mistaken, it said that he was 85. Is that 45? 85? I thought to myself, I was like, 45? Come on, Caleb, that's not that old. 85. 85 years old. He talks about, he said, my strength is not weakened. That's quite a testimony, isn't it? At 85 years old, he wanted the mountain country. He said, give me that mountain that was promised me because I want to take it. I'm glad he's, thank you, Tommy, for 85. For some, I was thinking, 45? I'm 44. I don't think it's that great a testimony. I don't feel that bad. I think I could fight a fight if I had to. You know, I might not be quite as strong as I was, but, you know, I want to be able to do a little something here. But, you know, then I think Moses talks about when he was 120 years old. His eyes had not dimmed, and his strength was still there. Now, I'd like to stand on that promise. I would. I'd like to. You know, we were talking the other day about the eyes, and we were sitting up there at Peggy's after lunch. It was last Sunday, trying to read stuff that, you know, old Dave back there, his arm's getting too short or something because he can't see quite like, I remember when I first came down here, Dave, that dude could see anything. He could spot things, you know, a mile away. He'd say, see that deer out there? And I'd be like, well, of course, I was about half blind then. And I'd be like, no, I don't. I used to have to, I had that LASIK thing, so I can see now. But my eyes are, I'm like Moses. My eyes are better now than they were, but I had a little help. It didn't. But I think maybe Moses' deal was that whole thing in their time in the wilderness. And so, you know, if you can stand on that promise and, you know, you can have the strength you had when you were young, when you're 85 years old, then I'm far be it from me to stand up and tell you, you can't. God bless you. I hope you can. But I'm at the point now, I got to think about it when I step off of that thing right there. I remember I used to come out to YMCA there in Lynchburg, and there's this little hump that you had to get off of. And I come out of that YMCA, and I jump off at this, probably about, I don't know, 2 feet or so. And I jump off that thing and hit the ground and keep on going. You know how I come off of it now? I go like this right here, and I step down gingerly. And you know why? Because I could blow out a knee. That's just the way it goes sometimes, you know. We start to get a little aged, and it gets a little hard. And so Solomon tells us here, he says, remember your Creator in the days of your youth. Remember Him while you're young. And I was thinking about this passage this morning, and it's because of this. When you're a young man and you can leap off of that stoop and you can run on your own and you've got the strength and you can fight the fight and, you know, all your mental capacity is there and you have great recollection, well, sure, you can say, well, what do I need God for? Why would I need God? I've got, well, I'm going to tell you right now, that stuff leaves you. And it's a whole lot better if you think about Him, remember Him, and cause you to move to action while you're young. Because there's going to come a day, guarantee it, mark it down, put it in your book, tell Him I said it on this day on September the 28th, 2014. I did well to remember the date. I got it right here. One of these days you're going to say, God, I need you. I need you. Yeah, I didn't need you when I was, you know, 14, I didn't think I did anyway. But Solomon says this, I went through all this, I did all these experiments, I tried all these things, and here's my advice to you, remember your Creator in the days of your youth. While you're young, before the evil days come, before the body starts to break down, and by the time you get this healed up, along comes another pain that you didn't see it coming, and the clouds just seem to keep rolling in. And rolling in, and before too long, you're like, Lord, have mercy. When does all this stop? Amen. Remember the Lord. Remember Him. Take action. It's not a pretty picture He paints here. I don't want to pretend that it is. He says, and the doors shall be shut in the streets, and the sound of the grinding is low, and shall rise up at the voice of the bird, and All the daughters of music shall be brought low. Skip down to verse 6. Or even the silver cord be loosed, or the golden bowl be broken, or the pitcher be broken at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern. And here's the reason he gave. Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. Remember your Creator. Because as Genesis tells us, as God spoke to Adam there after the fall, it says, from dust you came, and from dust you shall return. See, these bodies are going to return to dust. But the spirit lives on. The spirit continues. And that's what he gives us in verse 7. He says, then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. Amen. He breathed in us a living soul. He gave us an eternal spirit. We go on past this life. It doesn't end when this dust goes back to dust. We continue. And so that's why Solomon says, I want you to remember this. Look at the way put a bookmark there in Ecclesiastes. And there's several places that I'd like to look at. And there's one thing that kind of stuck out to me as I was reading throughout the Psalms here, and particularly the Psalms, but you can kind of go anywhere and see this. But and I guarantee you, every one of us here would amen this morning, and especially those, maybe not the young people, because you haven't understood it yet, but you will. I guarantee you, you will. In Psalm 39 and 5, it says this, and behold, thou hast made my days as an handbreadth, and mine age is as nothing before thee. My days as a handbreadth. Now, I've got a pretty big hand. I can palm a basketball, at least I could when I was young. I guess I still can. I hadn't tried in a long time. But even that is not much. There's one thing that we learn throughout Scripture that tells us over and over again, Solomon and his wisdom, and David, his father as well, tells us that life is short. It goes by quickly. Now, as a young person, I didn't understand this. I thought, 20 years is a long time. I remember thinking, going through high school, 5 years, my word, that takes forever. I was just waiting for that to be over. 5 years of my life, it'll never be over. But here, well, we had 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 where I came from. It was like 5 years in high school. Sorry, we didn't have middle school. I was back in the ancient of days, so it didn't take me 5 years to get through 4 years. Thank you very much, Bill, but appreciate you pointing that out. 8, 9, 10, 11, that's five, right? Yeah, we had 5 years from when I came up, and y'all did too. Okay, so that doesn't make me feel any better, Peggy. I think now even where I went to school, they have middle school. But when I was coming up, we had 5 years in high school. Well, I tell you what, I thought that was going to be forever. Looking back, my knee I just went down like that because my knee just had a lot of pain in it. So I know what I'm preaching this morning. It just popped out, and I'm going to have to put it back in. But that's what we're dealing with here. Amen? We have pains in our body. But what the Scripture tells us is that life is brief. Look what he says over in Psalm 90. This is a familiar passage, Psalm 90 and 12. He says, teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Teach us to number our days, to weigh them out. Each day, we don't know how many days we may have. No guarantee. I can't tell you. Wish I did know. Wish I knew how many days. I guess I do. Maybe I don't. But we don't know. But here the psalmist tells us, he says, teach us to number our days, to weigh them out, that we may apply our hearts to wisdom. Let us have a direction in our life. Let's not just move through life and just mark off the days. But help us, God, to have purpose in our life. I believe God can do that, can't he? He can give us purpose in our life, that we're just not marking off days. And I think part of that too, you know, when we start thinking about how quickly things just roll on. I mean, that just rolls on quickly. You know, I remember I used to work with this guy, and he's retired now, but he had this big calendar in his office and on his wall. And we have this guy that would come through and clean up our offices, and we all had these calendars. And, you know, mine would come up, and this guy that would come clean, he was nice enough to take my calendar and flip it to the next month. You know, we went from August to September. I was able to, I'd come in on a Monday morning, and if it had switched over the weekend, my calendar would be switched for me. And so I was like, oh, that's nice of him. No big deal. Well, this other guy, I won't call his name in case this is somebody hears it on the internet, and it was nothing bad, but he may not want anybody knowing about this. This other guy, he come in one Monday morning, and his calendar was flipped. And he was all kind of upset. He's like, don't flip my calendar. And I'm thinking, what's the big deal? Flip the calendar. At least something I don't have to do. But see, he was a lot older than me. And I think maybe I got to, you know, he started talking a little bit there, and it was important for him to think about, he would think about his last month. As he would take it and turn the page, he'd think about August and maybe some of the things he was able to accomplish throughout the month of August as he was going into September. And he just kind of used that as a time to number his days. He was a Christian man. He was a believer. I love the Lord, serve God. He's one of the greatest examples I know of a Christian. And he would use that time to just think about what he had accomplished. And I got to think about that, and, you know, when you think about a business being run, when you think about some type of industry, the last thing you want to do is just to go through business without any direction at all. Just going through. Just do things. Just do whatever you feel like getting up and doing that Monday. You need a plan. And I'll tell you this morning. In our lives, we need a plan. We need a direction. Our young people, we need a direction. You don't just turn them loose. That's why the scripture tells us to train a child in the way they should go. Point them in a direction. And one place there it talks about arrows in a quiver. That a child is sort of like an arrow. You take them out and you put them into a bow and you aim them at a target. So they'll hit a target. You don't just throw them out there and just shoot an arrow into the air and say, well, go where you will. Parents, listen to me. Aim your children. We've tried to do that with ours. We've tried to aim them. Point them in a certain direction. Not just firing a bow into the air and hoping, well, land where you will. Point them. Teach them. And we know the greatest of all, the first priority is we point them toward God. That we point them toward, as Solomon tells us, to remember their Creator in the days of our youth. Teach us, Lord, to number our days so that we might apply our hearts unto wisdom. If it takes stepping back on a day of a calendar and flipping it over and saying, okay, God, you know, what did I accomplish last month for you? You know, what did we do? What do you have for me this month? And I was listening to a preacher the other day, and he was talking about how that every morning before his feet hit the floor, he lays in his bed that morning and says, God, speak to me today. Lord, speak to me today. Let me hear your voice, Lord. You set my direction. Lord, you set my plan. I tell you what, that's a good way to start the day, isn't it? Lord, you direct my steps. Amen. Lord, you show me the way to go. You direct me. And that way, when we see an opportunity that comes before us as a believer, we know that it's just not, you know, it just didn't happen. But it's God directing our steps. God showing us. Lord, teach us. Don't let us just mark days on the big black X and move on and just like, well, but help us to have purpose and meaning, Lord. Remember the day, the Lord, remember your Creator in the days of your youth while you have your strength. Because It is our desire to work. It is our desire to labor. It is our desire to do what we can for the kingdom of God. But listen. Then shall the dust return. We're back in Ecclesiastes 12. To the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. Skip down to, I guess maybe the last two verses. Let's look at those, because we've entitled this the conclusion. And this is kind of how Solomon wraps it up. And I would invite you to go back and read this whole chapter. He goes from there talking about the words that he chose, the right words, and how important they were. But he puts it this way. He says, listen, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. After all of his experiments, after all his trying, after all his escapades, so to speak, this is what Solomon comes up with. Here it is. Fear God. Keep his commandments. I already told you I like it simple. That's pretty simple. Fear God and keep his commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. Now, King James puts duty in there. It's actually in italics, which means it was just added for clarity. So if you allow me to do this, I'm going to leave it out and read it this way. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole of man. This is the whole of man. Duty just makes it sound like something you got to do. But this is the whole of man. This is what gives us purpose, is that we serve the Lord, that we fear God, that we reverence him, that we come together, and just like we have this morning, in worship and majesty and singing praises unto our Creator because we have remembered him. But even beyond that, as we walk out the doors, we're saying, God, take my life. Lord, you use me. And here's the reason he gave. He doesn't just say, he says, here's what we got to do. You got to fear God and keep his commandments. This is the whole of man. This is our purpose. Fear God, keep his commandments. And here's why. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Why? Why should we fear God and keep his commandments? Because we got to stand before God. Because he is the judge. Because he is the righteous. Because he is the king. And whether you believe it or not, one day you've got to answer to God. I mean, in the big scheme of things, and I know I've shared it here before, but as a kid, this scared me to death to know that I had to answer to God. Once I breathed life, that was it. I had an appointment. Now, however that's going to take place, I don't know. We were actually talking, some of our men were talking about the other night about the judgment and how that was going to happen and whether we thought this or whether we thought that. And I'll be honest with you, there's a lot of ideas out there how it would take place and all this, and I don't have the answer for you. But I can tell you one thing, in one way or aspect or another, we all stand before God. We all have to answer to him. Now, as believers, I will say this. As Shell was preaching a while ago to us, amen, as we're clothed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ, we can come out of this life, we can return to dust with confidence. That we don't have to think, maybe, I hope, sort of, I'm ready. But we can know. When I read New Testament scripture and I read people like Peter and I read people like the Apostle Paul, I don't hear them saying things, well, I kind of hope, you know, I've done enough here and I'm, you know, I've strived enough and worked enough and I'm ready to stand before the Lord. And no, matter of fact, Peter says, I'm ready to be offered. He said, the time of my departure is at hand. I'm going to leave this world as my Savior had told me I was going to do. And you can read throughout the New Testament scripture where Jesus had given Peter some insight of how he was going to die. He said, you know, when you're young, you go where you wait, what you will. But when you're old, there's going to be one that's going to take you by the hand and lead you where you would not want to go. And the scripture tells us very plainly that this Jesus told Peter, signifying what type of death he would die. And so he knew he was leaving. He even had a good idea of how he was leaving. And so when his time drew near, he says, I'm ready. I'm ready. The time of my departure is at hand. I'm ready to go. I don't know if there's any greater, I'll see if I can find it here quickly, but I don't know if there's any greater example given as what the Apostle Paul gives us. I think it's actually in 2 Peter or 2 Timothy there when he's talking about his departing and leaving. And I'll tell you what, listen to what he said. And it's over in 2 Timothy chapter 4. He says in verse 6, For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. Not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. I love that when I read it. I think, Paul, you had your confidence in the right thing. In the work of Jesus. And you knew. There was no doubt. I don't read any doubt in this. I don't read any, well, I sure hope I've done enough. I don't know, probably an overused statement, but I've heard it said many times, you know, you're not ready to die or ready to live till you're ready to die. And I believe that to be true. You know, we may be, I don't know how, you know, we've got different ages in here this morning. We've had different experiences. We've had different trials. We've had different joys. And, you know, none of them are alike. They're all unique. They're all different. But one thing's for sure. We all stand before God. I love the story. You know, we've talked about the youth, you know, where Solomon says, remember thy Creator in the days of thy youth. And I'd mentioned hearing the story of R.C. Sproul Jr. and all that he'd went through. I heard someone preach this years ago, and see if I can. I think it's over in Hebrews chapter number 11, and it talks about a man in the scripture by the name of Jacob. And when Jacob had gotten to the end of his days and knew it was time for him to leave. And I heard a man paint this picture one time, and of course Jacob, at this point, if you go over into Genesis, I think it's in, I think it was like Genesis 47, where it talks about that Jacob calls Joseph unto him and made him promise, hey, you know, I'm about to die here. He says, and this is when they were dwelling in Egypt. He said, don't leave my body here in Egypt. Take me back to the promised land. Don't leave me here. And so he made Joseph actually take his hand and put it upon his thigh, or however. It was kind of a way of how they would make a covenant back then, or make a promise to commit that they would do something. He said, Joseph, here's what I want you to do. You lay your hand on my thigh, I think it was thigh, something like that, and he says, you promise me that you're going to take my body out of Egypt. Don't leave my bones here. Take me out. And then it paints this picture of, says that Jacob, the Old Testament says that he bowed upon his bed, that he kneeled down. And I can picture that in my mind. Here's this ancient, this aged man. He's lived his life and he's had his highs and his lows, and he gets down to his last days, and it says that he kneeled down in his bed And listen to the way Hebrews 12 puts it. Oh, actually, Hebrews 11. I'm sorry. Hebrews 11 and 21. It says, by faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshiped, leaning upon the top of his staff. I just love that picture when I think about it. I see this old ancient man kneeling down, probably moving kind of slow, like many of us have to do because we're aged or are getting there, leaning down, and it says he worshiped. And I think about my own life, and I thank God, that's who I want to be. I want to be the one that when it gets to the end of his life, when it get to the however many years God blesses me with, I still want to be worshiping. I still want to, no matter how slow you might have to get down on you. When you worship, you're talking about, matter of fact, the word actually means sort of like prostrate, like you're actually going to lay yourself out before someone in reverence and awe and worshiping someone greater. And so that's what Jacob's doing here. He's worshiping his creator. He's worshiping the Lord. And so, you know, we want our young people to worship. We want our young people to remember the Lord in the days of their youth. And then beyond that, we want our aged, I like that word much better than old. We want our aged people to be found worshiping. And those that have endured, those that have went through a storm, those that faced a trial, and are still worshiping. Still worshiping God. Still lifting him up. I was talking to someone the other day, I think it might have been Bill. And we were talking about, particularly about resurrection. And when you think about the whole message of the gospel is a message of resurrection. It's the message of taking something dead and bringing life into it. And even though you might be here this morning and you think, well, you know, I've wasted a lot of days. You know what's great about the scripture and what it teaches us is that God can restore the years that have been eaten up. That the gospel message is a message of resurrection. It's a message of restoration. It's a message of God bringing life out of things that are dead. And that's how he works. He does that. He brings life from death. And so the whole message of the gospel is a message of resurrection. And I'll tell you what, aren't you glad to know this morning that God spoke life into your dead life? Even that which was dead, he has made alive. Amen. And we have that to stand on here this morning. Amen. Scripture says Jacob kneeled upon his bed and he worshiped. God, help us to be like that. Here's the conclusion of the matter. Fear God. Keep his commandments. Why? Because we all have an appointment. Amen. We all, however it happens, I'm not going to argue with you about it. I don't know. But I tell you what. And we've all got to stand before our Creator. That's why Solomon said, remember your Creator. You didn't just happen. You didn't just drop out of space. You didn't just come out of a mud puddle somewhere and something happened there. You were created. You had a designer. And we've got to answer to him. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your word, God. Lord, we thank you for Lord, the scripture that's been preserved for us, Lord. Lord, this picture that we've seen here this morning. Father, we thank you, Lord, that you do bring life from death. God, that you do restore. And Lord, although we can we can relate to these passages that we looked at this morning. We understand that our bodies do wear out and that we do go back to the dust. But Lord, as Solomon has told us so plainly, our spirits live on. And we thank you for that promise, Lord, that we can spend our eternity with you forever in your presence, God. This promise of life that we have, how wonderful it is to know. Thank you for making the way today. In Jesus' name.